Boker Tov, world. Today's daf in Masechet Gittin, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is daf Pei Dalid, and we're holding right there at the top, not literally at the top, but almost, Tana Rabban. So we're talking about the various tna'im in a get, and which type of a tna'i could actually be considered a shiur in the get, and which type of a tnai allows for actually a partial get, and all of the very fascinating possibilities that we saw yesterday in terms of both Gittin and Kiddushin. Today we have another twist on the story. Suppose a guy gives a get to his wife on condition that she marries a particular person. So then the halacha is she should not get married. But if she does, she doesn't have to leave the guy she marries. Now, this is very, very unclear. What do you mean? She should not get married, meaning what? Not get married to that guy, but she could get married to another guy. But I thought there's a condition that she has to marry that guy. She means she shouldn't get married at all? Does it mean if she did marry somebody else, she doesn't have to get divorced? Well, why not? She was never Mekayim but tonight. So then she's not really a Gerusha. This is very confusing. What is it saying? Says the Gemara. Micah Omar. Who? What? Where? Omar ibn Nachman. What he meant to say was like this. If a guy gives a get on condition that his wife marries Mr. X, then she's not allowed to marry Mr. X. Why? Because of Xera. It looks very suspicious. Looks like this guy is actually making a gift of his wife. I mean, it's ridiculous. Shema yomru nishehem notnim b'matana. People give their gifts. Their wives for a gift. I mean, it really looks bad. But when it says if she did get married, it means if she did get married to somebody else, then she doesn't have to get divorced. Why? Because we don't want the people to say that, well, she had to get divorced because she didn't marry this guy and she was only supposed to marry this guy. We don't want people to take marrying that guy as a significant and realistic deny. Now, obviously, that's a little bit crazy. I mean, just because we don't want people to think that this is a real deny, it's because we're going to allow her to live as an adulteress with another guy. That sure makes no sense. So basically, Tezis explains that the idea over here was that we thought that this was another one of those cases. This was the Havamina, which we took Rim Nachman to mean, that this was another one of these cases where the Rabbonin canceled the marriage Lamafreya. So they said, we'll consider the original marriage to be Be'ilat Znut, right? And therefore, because it's called Mekadesh Adaiti to Rabbonin Mekadesh, remember, we've been using that an awful lot lately. And so we thought that over here, that would be the case. In the end, the Gemara says, does that really make sense? Mishum Gezera lo mafkina minei. Just because of this issue. So we're not going to make her get divorced. We're going to be matir, what looks like an eshes ish lialma, even if what we thought we would do would have made it to be not a real marriage. It's very unlikely. This must not be the correct approach to understanding the unclear meaning of the bright. Elamer of Nachman. Okay, let's take it this way. Okay, comma. When he said she should not get married, it does mean she should not get married to him. Because we don't want people thinking that people give away wives, you know. So if somebody's going to pay you off, so you'll bedafka, make sure that your wife gets married to this guy because her divorce is only going to be chal if she marries this guy. But, continues the bright, of im niseit lo, if she gets married to this guy, then lo tetzei, because just because it looks bad, mishum gzeira lo mafkina, we don't make a woman get divorced because it looks bad. I mean, there's nothing innately bad about it, you know? And because of that, we'll allow them to stay married. Romale Rava, I don't understand what you're saying. She should not get married to him. I mean, that implies that she should get married to somebody else. How could she get married to somebody else? She can't get married to somebody else if she's not going to keep the condition. The condition was that she marries Mr. X. So if she goes and marries Mr. Y, then she's still an agency to her original husband. So how could she marry Mr. Y? I don't understand what you're saying. How she could marry another guy? Now, obviously, the guy didn't say over here, this is your get on condition that you only get married to Mr. X, right? So, I mean, so you could say, okay, fine. So she'll marry Mr. Y and she'll be Mekayim the Tanai of marrying Mr. X 20 years later when she shoots Mr. Y. And now she ends up marrying Mr. X. So now it turns out that retroactively, she was Megureshet. She sort of runs through these husbands pretty quickly. So if that's the case, maybe that's what you're thinking. I mean, it wasn't exclusive. So V'chitema, you'll say, look, I mean, she could go get married to Mr. Y today, and then some later time, she'll get divorced from him, you know? And then she'll go marry that guy, and she'll be Mekayim her tonight. Now, remember we had back in Masechet Nedarim exactly this kind of situation. Do we allow you to make a move today based on the fact that we are certain that you will make certain yourself to keep a condition tomorrow? So the case was over there where you said, I'm not allowed to sleep today. So you ask your eyes with a netter. If I sleep tomorrow, can you sleep today? Because we're afraid maybe you won't sleep tomorrow. Okay, so this was a machlokes. So Lechora, you are saying, says Rava to Reb Nachman, you are trying to say that let him sleep today. That is to say, let her marry Mr. Y today. And then tomorrow he'll be Mekayim the Tanai. That is to say, in this case, tomorrow at some later date, so to speak, she will marry Mr. X, right? But it's not comparable at all. I'm sorry. V'chi tema, says Rava to Reb Nachman, you're going to tell me that she could marry today Mr. Y. Efshar deminsav hayom. And then some other tomorrow, 20 years, whatever, she'll marry Mr. X. After she gets divorced from Mr. Y, she'll be Mekayim the Tanai retroactively. And you're comparing it to the Machlokes of Rabbi Yehuda. L'achta pligat alei de Rabbi Yehuda k'medamet alei. So you're comparing it to that case that we had in the Dorim, where you yourself were the one who argues with Rabbi Yehuda, and you say, we don't care about the fact that it might be us or tomorrow. We tell the guy to keep the Tanai, and then it won't be us or tomorrow. That was your shita, right? So you're trying to be consistent with your shita in the Dorim. Because over there, remember what the case was. A guy says, I'm not allowed to sleep today if I sleep tomorrow, right? So he makes a net. Al yishan hayom. So Rabbi Yehuda said, Om Rabbi Yehuda, al yishan hayom shema yishan lamachar. He's not allowed to sleep today because we don't trust people to keep a condition because the condition is not the netter. So they don't feel that constrained by a condition that's going to put another netter into effect and then turns out that I retroactively was over on my netter. Therefore, says Rabbi Yehuda, don't sleep today because we're worried that tomorrow you will sleep. And you, Reb Nachman, you said, Reb Nachman Amar, you're allowed to sleep today because we believe that the guy can be relied to keep his condition tomorrow. So what's the big deal? Ve'en choshishin, shema yishan l'machar, says the Gemara. But that would not be a very good explanation, would it? Because hachi ashta, how do you compare these cases? Hatam b'didei kaima. In the case of the guy sleeping, so we trust him not to sleep the next day. Because, I mean, you keep yourself up. How do you keep yourself up? You buy one of these Indian, nail beds. So you stand on the nail bed. That should do it okay. That should keep you up, you know. I mean, unless you're really a swami. But, I mean, the pashtas would be that would keep you up okay. So you buy mivras nafshibisivata velonayim. You could keep putting a needle in your skin, you know. And that'll keep you up all right. But over here, it's not up to her to become divorced. I mean, how does she know that Mr. Y is going to divorce her and then she's going to be able to marry Mr. X? How do we know that she can keep the Tanai? This doesn't make sense. Ella, or my Rava, I'll tell you what the Braita means correctly. I don't see that any of Rav Nachman's approaches are good approaches. The meaning is like this. Arezulotina say means she can't marry at all. Not that she can't marry this guy. She can't marry at all. Arezulotina say, lo lo velo lacher. She can't marry him because we said that. I agree with Reb Nachman. Lo lotina say, shema yomru nishotayem notnim b'matana. It looks terrible. people say, okay, so the guy bought this man's wife, so he divorced her to be able, that she should be able to marry him. That looks terrible. But she also cannot marry anybody else either. Because if she wants to marry Mr. Y, she needs to first be Mekayim her Tanai. Because what makes you think she'll be able to be Mekayim her Tanai at some later date? So therefore, I say the way to understand the first words in the Braita, don't get married at all. Now, the next part of the Braita is, but if she did get married, that means if she did get married to him, not to Mr. Y, she got married to him, then she doesn't have to get divorced from him, because just because something doesn't look good doesn't mean that we're going to ask you to get divorced. So Mishum Gezeirah Lo Mafkina, we don't take a woman away from her husband just because of this not looking good. If she married La'achar, however, she marries another guy, then of course she has to get divorced, because we can't allow her to marry if she might be an Eish HaSish and it's not in her hands. How does she know she'll ever be able to marry Mr. X? And there's a Braita that actually explained the words of this Braita exactly the way Rava just explained it, which is really, when it comes down to it, the only reasonable explanation. Tani Kabasi de Rava, Harezo lo tinase lo lo velo lacha. If he makes a condition she has to marry a certain guy, she should not get married at all. Not to that guy, not to anybody else. And Imni Seit, if she did get married, if she got married low, then lo tetse, as Rava said, because we don't make a woman get divorced just because things don't look so good. But if she got married la'acher, then we force them to get divorced. All right, so now we've been talking about gitim. We're making this gradual transition where the get could be achievable with this condition, right? But it's not really in your hands to be mekayim the condition. But how about where a condition is impossible? It's not just that it's not in your hands. It's not in your hands, but it's not a serious condition because it isn't something that is seen as ever being in anybody's hands. So let's say, suppose a guy says, I'm giving you this get on condition that you go up to the heavens and, that's where you live. Hamanach tali l'rakia. Or you got to go down to the bottom of the ocean. Or you've got to swallow a 4-foot long stick. Whatever, some kind of crazy thing. Or you have to first bring me a reed that's 100 amas long. Or I expect you to do that old Yashka trick. You got to walk across the ocean on your feet. I mean, he did it, didn't he? What's your problem? Okay, so any stuff like this is not a get because it isn't serious. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema Omer, no, on the contrary, this is the get because the Tanai isn't serious. The get is serious. But what we look at is whether it's a possible condition. If it's not a possible condition, then we don't view it as a condition. We don't view it as a get. And therefore, says Rabbi, let me tell you, the klal is, by the way, note the language of Yehuda ben Tema, because the Gemara is going to be bedayek, the lashon of kazeh. A get like this is a get. What do you mean like this? I mean, it's a klal, right? Klal omer Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema. Kol tnai, she'ev shalo l'kaimo b'sofo. Any condition that by definition is not physically possible for you to achieve, and the husband makes that as the tnai when he gives the get, then what we see is here a real get and the husband saying this just to drive his wife crazy. All he wants to do is put her through hell. We always assume that husbands that are giving gerushin are a bunch of bums and they want to torture their wives. And that's how we understand this. He's just making her crazy. So now she's got to go back to talk to her lawyer, talk to the rabbi. Is this a condition? Okay, so he wants to put her through another few hoops, But in reality, he wants to give the get. So according to Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema, what we see is that a condition that's not achievable is not meant as a serious condition, which is the exact opposite of the way the Tanakhama was saying, well, this is a joke. I mean, how is she supposed to ever get this get? On the contrary, it was Badafka, yes, again. So note that Reb Yehuda says two things that are tending in opposite directions. When he says a klal, usually when you say a klal, you're expanding. Things like this. Now, I know what that would include, but things like this are a get because it's a klal. And then he says kazeh only if it's exactly like this, which means that he's now being restrictive. So we're going to have to understand in which direction Reb Yehuda ben Tema was saying we're able to include an additional case in this, and in which case he would say you can't go that far and say that he's just trying to torture her. So let's try to figure out what those things are. But meanwhile, we're starting to get a handle closer and closer on what type of things are shiurim in get, what type of things are serious tanaim in a get, what type of things are tanaim that seem to make the get irresponsible or inappropriate, and what type of things are not really meant seriously as a condition at all. Omar Rav Nachman, Omar Rav, actually, we paskin like that. Halacha Reb Yehuda ben Tema. Omar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, well, you know what? The truth is that if you look carefully in the Mishnah, it seems clearly, not our Mishnah, but in the Mishnah Bar Metzia, if you look carefully, it says this in a Mishnah, because it says over there like this. A condition that you are able to actually do according to the condition, then if you went ahead and made that as the tanai, that's a good condition. So isn't that basically telling you that in the event that you would never have been able to physically be mekayim this condition, then it wouldn't be a condition at all? Not that it wouldn't be a get or it wouldn't be a contract in the case over there. If you can't do it, then the condition is seen as just a joke. And that means that the halacha is exactly like Reb Yehuda ben Tema, Shema Amina. Now, the question is, how far would Reb Yehuda ben Tema go with his klal? And how limiting would he be with the word only like this, kazeh get? That's what we have to think of. So now, let me ask you a question like this, and then you'll see where we get into this problem. Guy says to his wife, I'm giving you this get on condition that you eat a ham sandwich. Now, I mean, what's then over there? I mean, theoretically speaking, physically, she could eat a ham sandwich, but she can't eat a ham sandwich because the Torah says she's not allowed to eat a ham sandwich. So she's not going to eat the ham sandwich. So, I mean, that's the question. Is it the physical possibility that we say makes it that he's just torturing her? And that's what Reb Yehuda ben Tema was saying. Or is it the impossibility because she's not going to be able to do it? So what would you say about that? Ma. So Abaya says, same exact thing. It's exactly the same as Reb Yehuda ben Tema's case. She can eat a ham sandwich the same way she can walk across the ocean. I mean, she can't. That's all. Whereas Rava Omar, what do you mean she can't? She can. She could eat a ham sandwich, and then she could just get malchus for eating the ham sandwich. But, I mean, she could theoretically be mekayim this. And I want to point out to you that this Gemara is in this week's Parsha. And if you look carefully in Rashi, lo tuchal lechol b'sha'orecha ma'asah degancha tiroshcha v'yitzarecha. What do you mean, lo tuchal? You can. But you can't. So it's exactly this case. Look in Rashi there, and the way the Gemara understands the Lo Tuchal, and you'll see how it reflects on this machlokas over here of Abaya v'Rava. So Abaya says, you can't. Rava says, you could. So according to Abaya, let's see and fit this in to Reb Yehuda ben Tema. So according to Abaya, when he said, klal, I'm telling you a general rule, the general rule is meant to expand on the case of walking on the water into the general rule, which includes eating a ham sandwich. So that kalal would be La'atuye b'sar chazir. According to Rava, on the contrary, kazeh, only like this, walking on water, but eating a ham sandwich, you could, and therefore that's not included. So according to Rava, kazeh is coming to exclude that case. So that is a big difference in how to understand Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema. So now let's take a look at another case, which seems to be similar to this. Meitveh. A guy gives a wife a get on condition you must have sex with this guy. Now, he doesn't care. Get married to him. Buy sex from him. I don't care what you do, but this is only a get if you end up sleeping with this guy. So then if she is mekayim that get tonight, then it's a good get. If she's not mekayim that tonight, it's not a good get. Almanat shalot ba'ali la'abav la'avish. If I give this get on condition that you do not sleep with my father or your father. So then, even though normally we have to worry, maybe at some later date something will happen that will then make the get batal. In this case, we don't worry that maybe she'll end up sleeping with this guy's father. It's an erva. Or she'll end up sleeping with her father. It's an erva. So we're not choshesh for such a thing. And because of that, she could now go ahead and marry without any concerns that ultimately the get will be bought. Now note that it's very, very conspicuously leaves out the alternative condition, which is, I'm giving you this get on condition that you sleep with your father or that you sleep with my father. We never mentioned that. Why not? So apparently, why not? Because that's considered to be a joke. And it's not a real condition any more than eating a ham sandwich is a condition. It's just as bad as eating a ham sandwich and worse. So according to Abaya, this makes sense because Abaya understood that the meaning of the Zahaklal of Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema was to include any type of thing that you can't do, and that is sleeping with your father. So, but according to Rava says you could. It's just you're going to have to be sovel the malchus. So over here, you could say, oh, sure, she could. Says Rava, what are you talking about? It's not the same at all. I mean, to go ahead, get a ham sandwich. She could walk into a McDonald's and get herself a ham sandwich, you know. And as far as that other tonight, on condition you have sex with so-and-so. Look, you'll say it's not in her hands. Yes, it is. You pay a guy enough, they'll sleep with you. So she can always pay him enough to send, and if he's a very religious guy and he doesn't want to sleep with her. So she'll say, okay, so marry me for the day. We'll have kosher sex. I'll pay you $1 million. I mean, so theoretically, it's possible for him to actually be bought. You can buy the tonight, just like you could buy a ham sandwich. So after the Meshachta be Mamona. But how could you possibly sleep with my father or with your father? Bidida Kaima. It's up to her. It's not up to her. Even if she was willing to do such a thing, nihi di'i of the Yisura, she's not going to be able to pay somebody to do an Isur. So, abba ve'avich mi'av di Yisura. So, in that case, of course, even Rava would agree here that it's only meant to drive his wife crazy, but it wasn't really meant. Now, therefore, don't ask me from that case. In that case, I agree. Okay, so now let's understand the Rava and Abaya's overall approach to Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema, because now we have an expanded repertoire and we're able to show which is included in the Kazeh and which is included in the Zahaklal. So now things start to make sense. According to Rava, when we say Klal Amar Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema, yes, it's an expanded Klal. Not only walking on the water is included as a joke of a Tanai meant to torture, so is sleeping with your father, sleeping with my father, even though theoretically it's physically doable, but it's not achievable by her. Whereas the Kazeh, no, it has to be like this. It has to be like walking on water. That's coming to say, but a condition which would be eat a ham sandwich, that is up to her. And therefore, that, according to Rebuta, is an actual serious tonight. Mashenken, according to Abaye, the klal that Rebuta said even includes ham sandwiches. And the kazeh, that's coming to exclude a condition that involves she needs to have sex with so-and-so. Because that, we say, is theoretically achievable. If she had enough money, you can buy anybody because there's no issue that's involved over here. It's just a question of whether this guy wants to sleep with her. Pay him enough and he'll do the job. And therefore, the get in that case would actually be dependent on the Tanai, even according to Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema. And that's how we have our difference between the two tendencies in Rabbi Yehuda. Klal, expansive, kazeh, restrictive. Now, the question is that there seems to be a braita that says 100% not like Abaye. Take a look at this braita. A guy gives a wife a get on condition that she has to eat a ham sandwich. Or let's say she is a Yisraeli, not a Kohenet. And he says, you have to eat a truma sandwich. Or she was a Nizira. And he says, you need to drink a cup of wine. So in such a situation, if she was Mekayim, the Tanai, it's a get. If not, not. Now, according to Rava, this fits perfectly well, because Rava says that as long as physically you can do the conditions, so she can physically have a ham sandwich, she can physically have a cup of wine as a Nazira. Okay, so then this makes a lot of sense, but according to Gabbai, this makes no sense, because he says if it involves an Isser, that it's the equivalent, according to Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema, it's the equivalent of walking on water. Excuse me, says Abaye, you're 100% right. This is totally not like what I said, but you might bother your little mind to remember that I was talking about Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema. Who's to say that this was said by Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema? Maybe this was said by the Rabbana. So, mis avret divrei akoli, what do you think, everybody agrees? This is the shita of the Rabbanan who don't accept Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema. Remember, they said if a guy makes a condition, even if it's walking on water, it's a serious condition, and the get is but. That's what they said. Fine. So don't ask me from a braita where you can't prove whose shita it is. Says to Gemara, isn't there something that I remember about a general rule? And we all remember hearing this general rule. Kol hamatne alma shekatuv batorah, if somebody makes a condition which is against what the Torah says, that condition is null and void. Well, over here, the guy is making a condition against the Torah. Why are we only talking about whether this is an achievable condition? Why don't we say it's a canceled condition because it says that she has to eat a ham sandwich? So then that means that he is saying you need to do something against the Torah in order for this to work. I thought that that's the meaning of the words, kol hamatneh alma shekatuv batorah tana'o batel. So what am I missing over here? So typically, that should be a basis in and of itself to make this absurd. Typically, dematneh alma shekatuv batorah ki. Kol hamatneh alma shekatuv batorah tana'o batel. Omer avada bereid revika. No, this is not. You're misunderstanding what Masna Masha Ketuba Torah means. Masna Masha Ketuba Torah does not mean you make a condition which involves somebody doing an Isser in order to be Mekayim the condition. And that's not what we're talking about. Ki Amrina Matna Masha Ketuba Torah Tuna Obatel. That is only where the case is that your Tanai is ipso facto canceling a din of the Torah. For instance, take a case like this. A guy gives a woman kiddushin, and he says, this is your kiddushin, on condition that I, as your husband, am not subject to the Torah's demand that I provide you with she'er ksut va'ona. So I don't have to sleep with you, I don't have to support you, I don't have to clothe you, and it's on that condition that I'm giving you this money. Okay, now there, the actual act of kedushin is itself a kedushin that violates the Torah's definition of what that kedushin is machayev. So there you're saying, well, even though God says that kedushin means shirk sut vona, but I say it doesn't. Okay, thank you very much. So that is tana'o batel. What does that have to do with the case over here? And in that case, the shirk sut vona case, the husband, by giving that kedushin on this basis, is being oker the din in the Torah, because now he created a kedushin, which, if this Tanai would be correct and binding tonight, it would create a situation which is directly in the face against the Torah. Mashenkin over here, he's saying, if you do something against the Torah, then this get will be kosher. But he's not saying that this get is based on the fact that you're allowed to eat or you would eat a ham sandwich. It's up to her. She complies, then fine. She doesn't comply, then it's not a get. That's all. I'm not making a condition that you would actually go and take out something from the Torah. Well, why not, says Ravina. I don't understand. The bottom line is he's saying that this get is a get only on condition that somebody is going, the person that it's a get for, so that's part of the get. It's only a get if she eats a ham sandwich. I mean, kulumka akra yi yela kiyumela tonight the damage. She's only eating the ham sandwich because of the condition. So ultimately, doesn't that boil down to making a condition against the Torah? I'm giving you a get that involves eating a ham sandwich. But the same thing, I'm giving you a kedushin that involves a cancellation of the Torah's dinim of kedushin. It sounds to me like it's also being ochre. So it boils down effectively to the same thing. I don't think that your distinction, says Ravina to Rava Adabre to Ravika, I don't think your distinction is sharp enough. I don't think it's true. I'll tell you why this is not considered to be a masla mashakatu batorah. El Amar Ravina, ki amrina matneh mashakatu batorah tna'o batel. That is like the case of She'erak Sutava Onata, where, by definition, what I just did in giving you, if this Kiddushin is a Kiddushin, then it would be an antithetical to the Torah Kiddushin. Fine. So then it involves ipso facto an Akira of a din in the Torah. Masha Einkain over here, he didn't say, you have to eat a ham sandwich. He says, if you want this get to be chal, you have to eat a ham sandwich. So he's not telling her, go eat a ham sandwich. Mika amala lo sagi lo achla, but she's got to eat a ham sandwich. It's up to her. Let her not eat the ham sandwich. If she doesn't eat the ham sandwich, then fine. Let her not be divorced. But where did it say that there's definitely going to be over here, by definition, an akira of the Torah? That's the way to make the sharp distinction. It is not innate in what I just said, that the Torah is going to be canceled. That's all. Okay. Now, getting back all the way to the Mishnah, there was a little piece in the Mishnah that we ignored, and right now it's starting to bother me. The Mishnah said that in the event that somebody said, you're not allowed to marry, this is your get, but you're not allowed to marry so-and-so, right? The Ella. So the Rabbanit said, that is not a kosher get, okay? They argued it, right? We've been talking the whole time about Rebbe Eliezer Shita, that it is a get, and what that would imply in terms of marriage and open marriage, and we had the attack on, I mean, we went with the four Zakenim came in, and the whole deal, right? Okay, but can we get back now to the Rabbanan who argued with Rebbe Eliezer in the Mishnah? And the Rabbanan, they said that actually it's not a get, and you have to fix it. So the Mishnah said, okay, so how do you fix it? Ketzad yaseh? Well, you have to take it back from her, and then you give it to her again. And this time, when you give it to her, you say, I'm giving you this get, because hareyat muteret l'chol adam, you're allowed to get married to anybody. But what bothered me is, why do you have to take the get back? I mean, the only problem with the get was the fact that you were insisting that it's only given for you in a way that's not matter this other guy, Mr. X. So why can't you just telephone her and tell her that, no, I don't mean that anymore. You can have this get and it's completely yours. You have to take it back and give it to her again. So what's the basis of that? Who is the Tana that demands that we make the get re-given? You have to take it back and give it again. Mantana. Says Chizkiah, well, it's obvious who that is, isn't it? I mean, we had this the same exact story before where we were talking about a guy who didn't have the guts to tell his wife, this is your get, you know? So he says, hey, your new license just arrived from town. Here it is. She opens it up, and it's her get. So we had a machlokas over there. Does she, if he calls her up later and says, listen, honey bunch, that was your get. Is that enough? Or does he have to take it back and give it to her? So obviously, the same sheet that said in that case, he has to take it back and give it to her and fess up. Here's your get, ex honey. So that's the same Tana. So Mantana, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazari. That was the machlokas we had before to Tanya. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, that if a guy gives a get, he pretends it's something else. He has to take it back. He can't just call her up. Achi et lena imena, viachzor v'yitznena la, he has to take it back, give it to her again. And this time, as he gives it to her, he says, Hegitech. Apparently, this Mishnah is stam, going only according to Shimon Elazar. Rabbi Yochanan said, it doesn't make sense. This is true, even if it's going like Rebbe. Remember that Rebbe said before, all you need to do is call her up and explain to her that that was your get. And remember, we learned over there that the question was the extent of the connection between the Natan Biyada Vishilcham Bibeto. Is the Vishilcham Bibeto defining the Venatan Biyada, or is the Vishilcham Bibeto only the next step after Venatan Biyada? Okay, fine. But according to Rebbe, you would not have to take it back. Rebbe Yochanan says, this Mishnah doesn't have to be going like Reb Shimon ben Elazar. This Mishnah could work out perfectly well, even according to Rebbe. You know why? Because Dilchon Amar, it was your guy's star. So what is that referring to? Well, you remember that Rabbi Yochanan wasn't too much in favor of the Talmidim that came from Bovel. Anyways, it's this whole horrible story where he thought that Rav Kahana was making fun of him, and because of that, Rav Kahana died, and he had to go, and he had to end up bringing Rav Kahana back to life, and then he ended up asking Rav Kahana all of the questions that he had, and Rav Kahana knew everything that Rav Yochanan was misupik about, and from that point on, he called Rav Kahana your star, Dilachon, your star, meaning the guy that came from Bovel, that usually these guys are idiots. This guy turns out to be amazing. So, okay, so we called him your star. So Dilchon, your star, said, so this is Rav Kahana, that this case is very different than the case of Rav Shimon ben Elazar, because, you see, over here, the moment that she got that get, even though it was a get on condition that she doesn't marry Mr. X, or for that matter, doesn't marry anybody, the din would be that she would be puzzled for a coin, because this is precisely Isha, that is Grusha Me'isha. So this get is already given to her as a valid get. Now, it's not a valid get for her to get married. That's true. But it is defined halachically as a get vis-a-vis the question of her becoming possible for any coin from this point forward, right? So because it's been given as a get and is technically within the range of an asinas get, if you want to use this get as a get without any limitations, you need to take it back and give it to her. In this case, you need to take it back without any of these problems and give it to her again. And this would be true according to Rebbe. Because Hoyel, in this case, for Kanaat Toli Pasabo Lekahuna. So you need a new Maisa of Gerishin. In Reb Shimon's case, there was nothing wrong over there to simply make it clear what it is. Okay, going on. And we had the Rabbanan, and we said over there that if he gave a get and he said, Areyat Mutaris Lekol Adam, except for Mr. X, it's not kosher. You have to take it. You have to give it back. Fine. What about, says the Mishnah, if you actually wrote that in the get itself? So now the question is, can you erase it and then make it kosher? So the Mishnah says no. Once the get was written inappropriately, so it's not a kosher get, the removal of the inappropriate part doesn't recreate a kosher get in the part that was written. And even though you erased it, it doesn't matter. It's no longer a kosher get. You're going to have to write all new get, because this is not a sefer kritut, according to the sheet of the Rabbanan. Amar Rav Safra, Now, Rav Safra said, look, read my lips. Or actually, read the Mishnah's lips. It says, Kitavo b'tocho. And it means Kitavo b'tocho. It's only if you had actually written up that condition in the get proper, okay? But if you just said, maybe while the sofer is writing the get, right, you say, listen here, Mr. Sofer, you write this get, keeping in mind that she's not going to be allowed to marry Mr. X. I don't want her getting near that Mr. X. This get is not for that. That's fine, because it wasn't written. And the sofer, he doesn't care what the guy is saying. He's only interested in writing a get. And whatever the guy will do in the end with the get, that's his business. He speaks about it afterwards. Fine. So then he can limit the get. But since it wasn't written into the get is kosher. As long as at the time that you are giving the get, you make it clear that despite your protestations that you don't want her marrying Mr. X, you are giving it without those conditions. And that way the Rabbanu would be made that, that it's fine. Rav Safra, I really know how to read a Mishnah without your telling me what it said in the Mishnah. It said in the Mishnah, if it was katuv betocho. I mean, what do you think you're adding by saying, note that it says katuv betocho? Okay, well, that's what it says. Thank you. Pshita. Kitavo betocho tznan. That's what it says, and I read that myself. What do you think you're adding over here? Oh, what do you mean, says Rav Safra? I'm adding a great deal. Because you might have thought, without my telling you, that ma'odetema hani mili le'achar toref. Maybe when we say it needs to be ketafo betocho, and if it was merely an oral condition, but in such a case, it wouldn't impact the get. But maybe that's only if you made this t'nai after the sofer had already written the first lines of the Mishnah that include the main words, which we call the toref. The Shema Isha, the Mokama Isha, the Mokama Isha, the words Areyat Muteret L'chol Adam. Then you're writing the rest of it, you know? And the guy says, oh, by the way, when you're writing this, keep in mind that Mr. X is not going to be Mutter because of this. That maybe doesn't make any difference. But you might have thought that if he made this tonight before the Sofer even writes the Torah, so maybe then, even though it's only Alpeh, it would also be possible because it was written with this t'nai, and therefore it's not a sefer kritut. Kamash malan, that even though you were sitting there saying all of this, the sofer is not keeping any of this in mind. And basically, he is ready to write a get and let the Baal decide what he wants to do with the get. I'm not going to sit there and write a specific get not for Mr. X, and therefore we don't have to be choshesh. So that's what I'm telling you. Whereas Rava says, no, actually, what Rav Safra said isn't even true. If he would have said that before the Sofer wrote the Torah, you'd have to worry about that, that it was written on condition not to be a true Sefer Kritut, according to Rabbanan, who hold that you cannot say, I'm writing this other than for Mr. So-and-so. And therefore, lo shanu ala la'akra Torah, but it's only if you said that orally to the Sofer before after he already wrote the main Torah of the get. The rest is not really all that important. But if you wrote, you told the sofer, write the get at the very beginning, before he even wrote the names, you tell him, listen, you need to know that this get has to be kept in mind, that it's not meant for Mr. So-and-so, then afilo alpen nami paso, and we assume it's not a sefer kritut, aliba l'shita of the Rabbana. Now, this is Rava l'shita to, because Rava, remember, told the people that were writing gittin for his bezdin, and in, or in his town. And he said to them, we had a number of cases like this where he was giving over the instructions about how to do things. So he had these various workshops with, for writing Sefer Torah, workshops for writing a get. So he had all this for him, and he said to them, now listen here, one very important thing is when a husband comes in and he's sitting over there and the witnesses are waiting, the husband is there in front of the sofer is writing down all of the details. It is very important for you to shut the guy's mouth. If he opens his mouth, tell him, shut up or get out of here and you're not getting your get. Because if you don't shut him up, he's going to, who knows what he's going to mess up by starting to sit over there and tell you what he wants this get to be for, what he does when it's none of his business. You write a get. Totally. Don't let him say any kind of tonight. The Omer Rav Elhanan de Katve Gite, Shat Kusha Tukila Baal, shut the husband up. Ad de Katve and Leila Torah Vagita, until you finish writing the Torah, then you can let the handkerchief over his mouth, you can let him breathe again. But until then, just keep the guy quiet. Because if he said that he wants this get to be given to anyone but chutz from so-and-so, that would actually destroy the get. And it would destroy it even the Diraisa. And because of that, the Rabbanan said, if chutz is going to be a Diraisa problem, then conditions are the Rabbanan problem. And I don't want the idea of that Rashi learns any kind of conditions. Nothing. Because if you allow conditions, who knows, one day a guy is going to say chutz. You won't even notice that he said chutz. It'll be a Diraisa problem. Therefore, this is a gezeira, and I make a gezeira on all conditions that were said before the writing of the Torah, because it's all chode gezeira. It's all one gezeira. This is how Rashi learns that he would passel all types of tnaim if the husband made them, even orally, before the ksiva of the Torah. Tosfos goes great lengths to show that that is absurd. There's no one who ever says that we would passel all types of conditions, and that it would have to be something that would be nogea specifically where we could have a chashash on a deraisa. Okay, Tana Rabbana. So now once we dealt with this, here's where we get to the Machlokas Rashi and Tosfos, where a condition is written into a get. And therefore, Tana Rabbana, if you write a condition into a get, according to Rashi, that's, as we just explained, any condition passels the get because we're nervous that someone may get up ultimately to being matir a chutz, not just an amanat. So even though an amanat is not a deraisa, but because of its confusion with chutz, boom, we don't accept any get with it tonight. Again, that's Tosfos, that's Rashi. Tosfos says, I never heard of such a thing that we should passel any type of tonight. Only a t'nai of chutz, where the guy says, almanat, that you don't marry so-and-so. So even though we came out in the Mishnah that only chutz is a problem because it's a shira get, however, because of how easy it is to confuse a condition with chutz, that, yes, if you write that into a get, we will passel that get min rabban. Because according to Rashi, we extend this to any type of condition that's actually written into a get. So tainis Rebbe, divrei Rebbe, v'chachomim omrim, only a tnai that would possibly get, if you said it at the time that you give the get, that would possibly get permanently if you write it into the get. But if it doesn't possible, if you give it on that condition, then if you write it on that condition, it would not possible. But if you said, except for Mr. X, that does possible if you say it balpeh. Therefore, if you'll write it, it's posul bichtav. But if you just say amenat, which is not a psul balpeh, it's not a psul bichtav, and therefore they disagree with Rebbe, and they don't make such a gezerah. Omer Rebbe Zera, I want to explain that they don't take this beyond what it's meant. This whole machlokas over here depends where in the get this tonight was written. Here we're talking about where I write the t'nai into the get before the Torah. So Rebbe says, that is a gezera, even if you only wrote on condition, because if you wrote except for so-and-so, and you write, this document is a document of tiruchid and shiluchin to everyone except so-and-so, and therefore we do record how Mr. So-and-so gave this to Mrs. So-and-so, et cetera, et cetera. That's terrible. Because if you had written chutz, then the get would not be a get at all, according to the Rabbanan, who argued to Rabbi Elazar and the Mishnah, and it would be a shiur in the get. So because of that, Rebbe holds, we have to make a gezeira that even if you wrote it as a condition, which is not the same as saying chutz, the way we learned in the Mishnah, remember, there were those who said that it is the same, Rabbanan Savre, we're not going to be gozer amanat otu chutz. Masha Inka, when it comes to you, already wrote the main part of the get. Now you want to throw in v'dein da havi lichim inoi, and so on, chutz mi ploni. little Akharat Toref, everybody holds that that would be kosher, because even that would only be a Darabonan. So if you write the Almanat instead of Chutz, the Almanat is a Gzera le Gzera, and because of that, we don't Nasr. So therefore, Devi Akol Kshera. Now, what about the Mishnah? According to the way I'm explaining it, says Rabbi Zera, here's how I understand the Mishnah. The Mishnah that says, if you wrote it into the get, and it said over there, it doesn't help to erase it and all of that, right? That's talking about, according to the way I understand it, that's talking about that you wrote the words chutz miploni into the get. But if you had only written, that's how I explained it, okay? But if you had only written almanat, then that would not passel the get, and it would still be okay. And this is what the Mishnah means. So I can explain it in two possible ways, because as we saw, it depends where it was written. So I could say that when the Mishnah says, if you wrote it into the get, it's possibly by same, I could say that that would be going, now that we see the machlokas in the Braita, it might be, the Mishnah might be talking about a case where you wrote this before the Torah, and then it would be going, Aliba the Rabbanan, and they say that if you write almanat, it's not going to possibly get, or it could be going even if you wrote it le'achra taref. And in that case, it would be true according to everyone, the way I understand it, both Rebbe and the Rabbanan. Once it's achra taref, remember my approach is that if it's achra taref, nobody would hold that it would possibly get. Whereas Rava said, I disagree with Rebbe Zera's approach. I say the whole machlokas over here is dafka talking about le'achra taref. Rebbe holds we make a gezera, even something written after the get was written properly, if you write in a condition, because people might confuse it with a condition that's written before the Torah, and they'll be matrit, and there it could be a real problem, because of the fact that had you written chutz, it would have actually made it a psul d'oraisa. And we view this all as one gezera, that even though you wrote almanat, since you've written chutz l'ploni, and it was there before the tariff, that would have been a disaster, so we don't allow anything that is before the tariff. The only machlok is the zakhra tariff. Don't listen to Rabbi Zera. Belief nea tariff, I hold everybody would say it's possible, in which case the Mishnah, according to me, says Rava, is not the way Rabbi Zera was explaining it. I would say that if the Mishnah writes that if you wrote a t'nai into the get, it passels it. And we said it doesn't mean a t'nai, literally, of almanat, it means chutz. V'ukimna, we said before that, that's how we learned the Mishnah, even though others learned differently in the Braita. But ukimna b'chutz, aval almanat, is not pasel. That is meant to be understood only achar ha-taref. It's going according to the Rabbonan, and that in that case, it would, in fact, not possible to get, because it's achra toref. But remember, according to me, everybody agrees that lifnei toref it's possible. Tani avua de rabovin kamei de Rabbi Zera, kotav get al tnai. There was a braita that Rabovin said in front of Rabbi Zera, which was, you know, very nice. But the question is, what about Rava? Here it said, kotav get al tnai. So divrei hakol possible. Now, what does that mean, Divrei HaKol Pasul? Divrei HaKol Pasul, said Rabbi Zera. Didn't we just have a machlokas if you wrote a get al tanai? So you must have said it wrong. What you should say is a Divrei HaKol Kosher. And it would be referring to, consistent with me, Echidomi, you wrote it la'achra toref. Well, I mean, if you're going to correct him, why don't you say, don't change the words kosher and pasul. Say hareza pasul according to Rabbi, instead of saying divrei hakol. Because when a guy gets mixed up, when he's saying over a braita, he knows that he was told divrei hakol. He might have gotten mixed up into what the divrei hakol was, but he's not going to put in a whole different kind of braita that makes a divrei hakol braita out of a Rabbi braita. So kosher b'pasul michlefle. You can get confused in what the psak was, but hare zeh, according to Rebbe, and divrei hakol, those are so different, lo miflafle. Nobody would have confused those two things, so therefore Rebbe Zera says, look, I mean, for this to make any sense, we're going to have to change the nusach that you're quoting in the Braita. You obviously got confused, and it should say that actually everybody says it is kosher. There's no way for it to fit everybody's saying it's possible, according to me. Okay, Rabotai, sorry for keeping you a little extra, but that Mishnah kept beckoning and beckoning, and I tried my best to somehow or other stop. But where would I stop? Think of yourselves. Where would you stop? Can't blame me, right? Impossible. All right, so I wish you all a wonderful day with the tefillah that we be zeicha to tomorrow once again. Kol tov.